Welcome back to the Paralegal Voice. My name is Tony Sipp, and I'm here with Shannon Bells, our very distinguished guest that we have with us today. So we're just going to jump right into the conversation. Shannon, first of all, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been a long time coming. I'm excited to be here.
That's very true. It has been. So I introduced you as Shannon Bells, but really your full name is Shannon Lex Bells. Can you explain your middle name?
Well, with a middle name like Lex, it seems like I was born into doing law. Lex is Latin for law.
Right.
I wish I could say that my parents had the foresight to name me after my career ambitions, but the reality is my dad's middle name is Lee and my uncle's name was Rex, and he mixed them together to make Lex. My family being from Oklahoma, none of them know Latin, so I'm pretty sure it was just a happy coincidence.
That is excellent. That's a great story. So we'll go into your expertise. Most of you don't know, Shannon, if you can tell a little bit about yourself. I saw you walk across the stage and win the ITLA Award, which is a very distinguished award. And you won the Lifetime Achievement Award. Is that correct?
I did. Yeah, I was so honored to be recognized for that. You know, I immediately got the calls for, are you, you know, on your way out, you know, how old are you? So I'm still here. I got kids to put through college. I am going to be working for a long time. So don't count me out yet.
I don't think anybody will. In fact, you wrote a book that people can go out and purchase. And maybe we can get that on the website at some point. The book is called A Trial Presentation Companion. Everybody should run out and grab that book. It's a very interesting read. So, Shannon, tell me, why did you decide to write that book?
Well, you know, there's a lot of standards around the entirety of the EDRM, so the litigation lifecycle. And at the time, there were no standards around trial presentation. And what I found was that firms, courts, governments were really doing it wrong. You know, I mean, it's a tragedy, especially when you see a multi-million-dollar firm walk into the courtroom unprepared. And over time, you know, I had the amazing testbed of working at Munger, Tolles & Olson to kind of perfect the craft and find what worked. And I was incredibly fortunate to have a firm that has committed so many resources to trial, right? And it really blew my mind that there were firms out there that would say something like, well, the client didn't pay for a hot seat, so you're just on your own when you go to court.
Wow.
Or they would trick some poor paralegal or new associate or IT person to go to court with them with little to no experience and say, you're going to juggle all these other tasks and do that easy trial presentation stuff on the side. And what law firms get wrong, there's a couple of buckets that they get wrong when they go to trial. And one is, you know, do they have the right equipment and software? Do they have the right workflow to go to trial? And do they have the right skills to go to trial? I think hot seating itself is a profession unto itself. So if you have a mildly complex trial, it's probably a good idea to have a professional hot seat there. If you're a paralegal or a new associate or something along those lines, and you have a limited set of data and hopefully no video to cut, you know, it's something that's approachable to you and can increase your skill set and, you know, potential opportunities at the firm or as a consultant and get you out there and maybe making some more money and doing some more interesting things.
There you have it. And to tie into what you just discussed with us, as a trial tech specialist, can you tell us why jurors prefer to see technology used during trials?
So I think it's kind of the TV effect, right? Mm. Where people have seen all of these great, you know, performances on TV and they expect a great performance out of the legal team that is doing the trial that they're attending, right? And they might be let down if they don't live up to the expectation of not wasting their time and making it interesting and telling a good story. And all of those things are elements to a good performance at trial.
So you set up like it suits the show and make it look like it's an incredible, incredible atmosphere, just like on TV.
Well, you know, I wrote this book on trial technology, and you might be surprised to know that my favorite piece of technology in the courtroom is actually the document camera. I think the document camera, if used appropriately and with discretion, you know, at the right time, that it might be the most effective tool, one of the most effective tool in the courtroom, because it decision makers have become slide blind after, you know, the first 30 slides, and people are going up and not legal teams, not, you know, are often making poor decisions about what they display in court and how they display it. And the way I think about it is that you should have a varied display that operates different pieces of technology in the courtroom. So I like, you know, PowerPoint, I like good trial presentation software, and then boards and the document camera, all to hold decision maker interest and keep everyone kind of on their toes as to what is being displayed at any given moment. And what I say like about the document camera is that you get some movement, right?
Okay.
It sounds dumb, but you get the document camera, and there's a technique to it, right? Where you put your document under it, you get some thick markers, and don't be afraid to put your hands under there and, you know, big broad strokes, scribble, do all these things, because that's interesting to decision makers, right? Look, it probably wouldn't be interesting to my kids, but if we're all trapped in this courtroom, you got to find a way to keep it interesting, because you always have the sleeping juror, right?
Right.
And so movement helps. Scribbling, the colors, they can't read ahead if you're going to write like the 3 points you're going to make or something along those lines. And so the first thing I like is the document camera, followed by the use of color in trial presentation software, because I hate the yellow wall everyone uses, you know, just yellow highlights.
Right, right.
And attorneys are afraid to let their teams kind of go wild with it. Right. And yeah. I'll tell you my experience has been, when using color and underline and all the circles and features like that, it keeps people interested. And I've heard that from jurors at every single trial I've ever used that technique in. But attorneys don't want to let you go wild with it, because you might underline the wrong word. And my counterpoint to that is just go with it. Let go. You gotta keep going there.
Take some risk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. So you've been quoted as saying, basic legal technology skills are foundational for today's legal market. Why did you say that, and why can you expand on that?
Well, I truly believe that everyone needs to work from a foundation of technical competency. And over time, we've seen everyone have to level up their technical skills. So, I mean, think about where we are today in terms of writing an email or creating a document using Word versus, sorry, I'll date myself, 10 or 20 years ago, where an assistant, then called a secretary,
right,
would type out the email for an attorney, right?
Right.
And now we're getting into further and further expectations where people should be with technology skills in their toolkit, so to speak. And I think that's always raising. And I think people make some assumptions sometimes about their technical skill sets, but we should all always be embracing new skill sets as we move forward.
Okay. So you teach as well I believe you're an adjunct professor for UCLA as well as Santa Ana College, right?
Yeah.
So is this what you are teaching your students? Are you letting them know that your skill set can't just be what it was before? It has to be a higher level because jobs are looking for that. They're looking for a skill set that is above the basics.
Yeah, I mean, not only do I tell my students that, I have to tell myself that, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Because,
right,
you know, we all go through periods of reinvention. You know, hopefully we analyze ourselves over time and kind of think about, you know, where are we and what do we need to do to stay relevant and keep current with the skills that we need to have. And man, there's been times where I've gone, geez, I need to hit the books. because I don't know what the heck that person's talking about.
Right.
And so I hit the books or, you know, go talk to my peers. And that's why I think, you know, podcasts like this and ILTA and EDRM and ASEDS and groups like that are so great at the learning function that we have. The biggest challenge I have as a manager is keeping everyone's skills up. It's everything's changing so rapidly. And so creating content and finding the right content is the biggest challenge.
Yeah, I understand that. Shannon, we're going to have to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Looking for a process server you can trust? ServeNow.com is a nationwide network of local pre-screened process servers. ServeNow works with the most professional process servers in the industry, connecting your firm with process servers who embrace technology, have experience with high-volume serves, and understand the litigation process and rules of properly effectuating service. Find a pre-screened process server today. Visit www.servenow.com.
Delegate out those tasks that take up your time. Staffy can help you with your legal, administrative, marketing, and even client-facing workload. Hiring Staffy's top-notch bilingual virtual staff means Staffy does the recruiting, hiring, and training for you. Then, if you need a change, Staffy handles it. You get to concentrate on your strategic work. Schedule a free consultation at staffy.cc. That's STAFI.cc and get $500 off with code HAPPY24.
All right, folks, welcome back. My name is Tony Sipp, and we're here with Shannon Bales. Shannon, do you believe that technology is a great equalizer? And if so, why?
I absolutely believe that. And I have, you know, probably the stress lines on my face to prove it. Because, you know, I'll tell you that the most worthy opponents from a technical perspective, you know, take the lawyers out of the trial. I know we shouldn't take the lawyers out of it, but let's take the lawyers out of the trial for a second. But the most worthy opponents that we've had, when it comes to, you know, exchanging exhibits and having relevant content on the screen and a good presentation environment, have come from firms that have been extremely technically competent. And to this day, I still mention, I don't remember the firm name, but I think the most effective firm that we went up technical-wise was a two-attorney firm with a single paralegal.
Wow.
And that paralegal did yeoman's work, I will tell you. I mean, they did it all. And it was one of the most challenging cases to make sure we kept up in a... They raised the bar, in other words, when we got to trial, and we had to adjust our own strategy so that we stayed relevant and with the expectation of the jury. And that's not usually the case. Usually we're the ones leading because we have the great commitment to technology and we're the ones doing it. Now, we held our own. We did great. You know, when you have the commitment of a firm behind you, you know, we can make changes. But I've been really shocked at times with especially big firms that don't have their house in order and are giving themselves a disadvantage when it comes to going to court. The thing that we're all here to do, you know, the end widget that we make is going to court. And you'd be surprised how many firms don't have a workflow associated with getting a laser pointer to the guy or girl at trial that needs a laser pointer because or the batteries or whatever it is
batteries
when they're two blocks away from the courthouse.
Right. There's no Radio Shack anymore.
There's no Radio Shack anymore, but, you know, it's as if they haven't given any thought to, you know, that something could go wrong and we need to get them something, right? When I was a consultant, we heard things like, yeah, I don't have permission to leave the office. You know, this is pre-pandemic. You know, I don't have permission to leave the office to go the two blocks to take you the laser, you know, whatever it is.
Wow.
You know? Or, you know, I have five calls ahead of you, you know, and I can't imagine telling someone at trial, there's five calls ahead of you.
No, that wouldn't
or
fly.
My other, I guess my pet peeve is firms that are big dollar firms that don't have the adequate equipment, right?
Mm-hmm.
it's a spend. It costs money, but you also are generating, you know, high quality work product that enhances the value of your lawyers, which is exactly what you want to do.
Exactly. That's well said. So can you name one thing that you believe legal professionals, you've been touching on it the whole podcast, but can you name one thing that you believe legal professionals need to evaluate themselves on?
I mean, I think we hit on it a little bit, but I think we should all be just in a constant state of self-evaluation. And I'm looking at things now, and maybe I'm behind by not already having this, but, you know, like the information privacy professional certification, maybe, or I recently took the LinkedIn Microsoft Gen AI certificate, went through that. There's so much out there now. And, you know, navigating that process can be frustrating, but I think as long as you're making a commitment to leveling up your own skill set, you're not always going to hit the target on the head with whatever the skill set of choice is for the week. Like Gen AI came on us really quick, right?
Very quick.
But, you know, you're not going to be hurt by getting that certified information privacy professional certificate, right? That's not going to hurt you. Knowing how to use trial software or do some sort of AI routine in relativity isn't going to hurt you, you know?
Right, right. So having those letters after your name is a benefit.
I think yes and no. For a while, I went and got the certifications, and I don't know that they were really respected industry-wide, but I think there's been kind of a turn in the last couple of years where I think the certifications are becoming more important. I don't think it hurts you to get any of them, to kind of think about what's going to help your career the most where it is. You know, there's a lot of great people in the industry. I look to like Sheila Grigla out of the San Diego Paralegal Association, Joy Morrow. You know, there's so many great people out there. You know, Mary and Kaylee from the EDRM.
Oh, of course. Yes.
you know, that just will do bend over backwards to help connect you with the right resources. And I would say, along with all that education, participation in the industry is a key to success. So, you know, you and I, the reason why I'm doing this podcast today is you and I met up again at a networking event over at Joy Morrow's Practice Align Resources. And, you know, it was an okay turnout. What was it, 20 or 30
yeah,
people?
Right.
But I would think that LA law firms could generate 500 people or 1,000 people to show up to a networking event.
I take your point.
and you know, we see a lot of people who kind of go, well, I don't know why this is happening or that is happening, but did you attend anything? No. Did you participate in some industry event? No. Did, you know, what are you, did you go to some Saturday thing that everyone hates? You know, no, you know, I mean, but participate and I think it builds the connections that you want. And the more important connection that I've received out of participation is education. Oh. So being able to go to someone and say, you know, I don't have the budget to pay for your software class, right? Like Reveal has been really good to me in terms of, you know, going to them and saying, hey, I don't have budget to get the education that you guys offer. Can you guys help me out? You know, can you, you know, what can you do? And they have been so amazing at, you know, helping us with they have a great education, online education program.
Yeah, I've seen it.
That leads to a certification. I love their programming. And so that only comes with the relationships that are out there. And so I always tell people participation is key. I tell my new students participation is key. None of them, you know, half of, you know, you say that and then 2 out of a class of 20 actually send you a LinkedIn request.
Right. Right. It's key to your career. I do the networking thing and I tell people you've got to network. You want your next job? That person's probably at the Paralegal Association right there. And,
well,
you know,
people don't know what networking means. And
right.
They think, you know, it's more than just showing up. It's participating. And that means At some point, someone's going to need a job, and you got to lift a finger. You got to check your own firm's website to see if there's anything available and take that extra step to make the introduction.
There okay? you go. Good move.
Whatever it is. Hey, Jane Blow needs a job.
Right.
And they're looking.
Right.
Times are tough. Times are not tough. Whatever. No one in HR is going to, if that person turns out to be a bust, no one's going to turn around and come back to you and say, you gave us a bad aid. Yeah. Well, they might say, give you a hard time about it. But, you know, at that point, they've gone through half a dozen people. You're not vouching for their personal credibility. You're just saying, hey, here's a person I know that I met. And maybe we should consider him for that position. So you got to do something.
Yeah. We'll be right back with our conversation with Shannon Bells.
Filing court documents, serving legal papers, collecting electronic signatures, all critical parts of the litigation process, yet ones that are time-consuming and error-prone. But what if you could do more straight from your case or document management software? InfoTrack automates data entry, document selection, tracking, and information syncing across all these core tasks and more by integrating with your core systems like Clio, Smokeball, Leap, MyCase, and others. Spend more time on substantive legal work and less time on busy work. Learn how simple it can be at infotrack.com/simple.
Hey, Gee, what's up?
Just having some lunch, Conrad.
Hey, Gee, do you see that billboard out there?
Oh, you mean that guy out there in the gray suit?
Yeah, the gray suit guy.
Order up.
There's all those beautiful, rich, leather-bound books in the background.
That is exactly the one. That's J.D. McGuffin at law. He'll fight for you!
I bet you he has got so many years of experience.
Like decades and decades. And I bet, Gee, I bet he even went to a law school.
Are you a lawyer? Do you suffer from dull marketing and a lack of positioning in a crowded legal marketplace? Sit down with Gee and Conrad for Lunch Hour Legal Marketing on the Legal Talk Network, available wherever podcasts are found.
Shannon, just listening to you, I'm always fascinated about the things that you've accomplished. Did this career choose you, or did you choose it?
I guess I was lucked into it, you know, This is a long time ago. So one of my first semi-professional jobs, I was a clerk at the County of Orange. And I started doing all the databases for the County of Orange. Well, for my group. And then people outside of my group started having me do their databases, right? And I wasn't a database person. I was a clerk. And they were paying me like $10.25 an hour. And they started having people come that were consulting at $250. This is a long time ago, still making a lot of $250 an hour. And I can remember saying, you know, when I had my review, can I have the 3-step 75 cent an hour raise? And someone saying, no, your desk is messy, so you're getting the 2-step raise. And I said, well, but I provided like $1 million of value to the county last year. And they said, well, we really value a clean desk. Well, my desk is still messy. My desk is really messy now. That's why you get the blur. But that kind of motivated me to kind of think about things. And so where the luck came in, I had two very fortunate events. A couple of fortunate things happened. One, so I was kind of ticked after not getting my 3-step raise of the county.
Sure.
And my dad, who was a lifelong county, senior county employee, was a property tax guy in charge of boats and planes. And one day he was outside when he smoked, he doesn't smoke anymore, smoking a cigarette, and some other dude came up and started smoking a cigarette and struck up a conversation. And he was like, well, my yacht needs to be reevaluated for tax purposes. And of course it was an attorney, right? So this is where the luck came in. My dad helped him out. And goes, oh, hey, my son, I think he's a computer guy. I wasn't really a computer guy, but I think, you know, he's a computer guy. You have any jobs at that place you're working at? And he goes, here, let me give you a name. And he threw out a name. So I went, and I was like, Dad, come on, you're embarrassing me. These people don't want me, you know. And so I went into it with total reckless abandon, you know, the interview, you know, where you don't really, you know,
you don't care if you get it or not.
So you give it all, right? And they hired me. And I was just sitting there literally praying with my dad saying, man, Dad, if I go from 19,000 to 23,000, I'm out of this county job. And their first offer was like $45,000, and I nearly, it was as a IT professional and a lot like kind of a glorified help desk kind of person at the time where they were rolling out computers and hardware and all that kind of stuff. And I loved it. I loved what I was doing, but I was an IT guy, and then I ran into Ron Deutsch, who is an industry legend as well. He was at that networking event.
Yeah, it was such a small group. I'm sure I shook hands with him.
And Ron gave me some litigation support skills. And the firm I was at was like, hey, you know, would you rather do this thing over here? And I really, like, you know, went back and forth. What should I do? But I was so interested in it because it got me involved in law and technology that I loved it. And it's been something that I've loved doing ever since. And I haven't really looked back. And there's been so many key people along the way, like Joy Morrow and Trish Fettig, who was my first manager back at Gibson, you know, and all these people who took an active interest in my development and helped me out and gave me good advice. You know, as a young person, you don't always... without a mortgage and without kids, you know, you don't always make the best decisions, you know, when you're at work, right?
Right.
You know, because you're thinking, wow, I could, you know, and at the time you could just walk out and walk into another technology out of anywhere. But they really helped keep me grounded and on a good path. So that's how I got my start. And my opportunities came by participating, as I mentioned before, and making myself available for those, you know, a lot of people, I'll give you an example. When I was going to Cambodia to work for the UN for a period of time, I could bring, they said, hey, if you want an intern or someone, you know, we can hire someone or bring them on short term. And I made that opportunity available to anyone I met. And out of everyone that said, hey, I wanted to go, one person actually went.
Wow.
So I helped that one person go. But probably only two or three ever followed up on the opportunity to go to Cambodia and be part of the UN War Crimes Tribunal. And, you know, it wasn't a huge commitment. It was like 2 weeks or a month or something like that.
Right.
And it was life-changing for them. And so you got to be ready for something good to happen to you, or it's not, and then be available to let it happen.
Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So that's great. And I love that you give back as well, because you've been giving up your Saturdays to help students and kids on this path to be you, if not better than you, when they get done. So I applaud you for all of your efforts. I applaud you for being here. I really wanted to do this for a long time, and I will be hitting you up regarding Maui. So I'll say goodbye. This has been the Paralegal Voice. Have a wonderful day. See you next time.